The 49ers are getting some key players back on the field Sunday night against the Los Angeles Rams. But this week began with another devastating injury for cornerback Jason Verrett, who sustained a torn Achilles tendon in a non-contact action during Wednesday's practice. Verrett has not played this season, but the club believed he was making progress toward returning to action and making a contribution. NBC Sports analyst Chris Collinsworth stops by to share his views on Jimmy Garoppolo and the state of the 49ers before he steps into the booth for his call of Sunday Night Football on NBC. This is an intriguing matchup, and expect the unexpected with Chargers coach Brandon Staley's penchant for going for it on fourth downs. Jennifer Lee Chan and I will discuss that and a lot more on this bonus episode of 49ers Talk coming at you right now.
Welcome to another edition of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Matt Mayoko.
All right, this is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. 49ers against the Chargers on Sunday night at Levi's Stadium. And we have a bonus podcast joined by Chris Collinsworth, NBC Sports analyst. He'll be in the booth along with Mike Tirico on Sunday night. But Jennifer, we start off with some really devastating news. And obviously, Jason Verrett has been through a lot in his career. And Wednesday dealt another significant, serious setback on the 49ers practice field.
Unbelievable how bad of luck Jason Verrett has. It's another non-contact injury, an Achilles injury that's going to end his season. He's going to have surgery again. Kyle Shanahan was, his description of what the field was like when it happened was just, I mean, it's really heartbreaking. No matter if you're a 49ers fan or not, just the human side of it, the fact that the entire football field was silent. Yeah. Because everybody knows what he's gone through, what he's battled back from. He's contemplated retiring. I don't know if anyone that's human cannot but feel for what Jason Verrett's going through.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, one of the more sad things I think I've ever seen in covering this team, the sport, was the season opener of last year when I was down getting ready to do the postgame show down by the 49ers locker room. And I think I was watching on a monitor Jason get injured on that play when he tore his ACL. And then I was, like I said, I was by the locker room and he came up there in a cart and he was sobbing and John Lynch was there to comfort him. And you could just see the pain on his face. And I mean, it was super sad. And so I can only imagine what it was like for Jason Verrett, the coaches, staff members, players, everybody. And Kyle Shanahan said that he gathered the team around after the cart came out for him and basically asked the team, do you guys want to continue practice? And he said there's about 3-second pause, and then everybody said, yes, let's continue practice. So it's that side of the sport, and we'll talk to Chris Collinsworth a little bit about that and a lot of other things. But that's the bad news, far and away, and it's horrible because, as John Lynch said on one of the previous podcasts here, consider Jason Verrett a wild card. You know, he hasn't played at all this season, but there was a chance the 49ers were, you know, going to get something from him this season. But we do know that they're going to get something from some other guys because a lot of guys are returning back to the team this week. And, you know, guys who missed that game against the Rams who should be ready to go or who, you know, have been cleared and are ready to go. Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Kyle Juszczyk, and Dre Greenlaw. But they're also getting some guys back off of injured reserve. And they didn't have to create any roster spots other than putting Jason Verrett on injured reserve, which he, you know, because of that injury, out for the season, obviously. But they did have, they had a lower number on their roster, 50 players entering the week. So Elijah Mitchell is back. Colton McKivitz, swing tackle, is back. Linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair is back. And defensive lineman Jordan Willis is back. And that's significant because the two guys who probably won't play in this game, Eric Armstead has already been ruled out. And Samson Ebukam is doubtful with that quad and Achilles injury.
Yeah, it's you think that the bye comes at different times every year. It really came at a good time for the Niners. While George Kittle said he'd like to continue playing, it's a great time for them to have had a bye, come back, you know, almost full strength without, of course, the guys you mentioned. But getting that, I mean, it's 8 players coming back for this matchup with the Chargers on Sunday night. That's a significant amount of guys kind of replenishing the roster. They have a week off, so they're healthier. And just, I think it'll be a more exciting game just because you've got all those players and all those pieces out there available to Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers have their own issues, too. You know, of course, right. The cornerback, J.C. Jackson, he's out for the year. Joey Bosa is about, his dad said, 5.5 weeks into an 8 to 10 week recovery, so he won't play. And then the Chargers are also down their 2 top wide receivers, Mike Williams and, of course, Keenan Allen. And Josh Palmer has been their number one receiver. But I think there's going to be a lot of Austin Eckler in this game. And 49ers defense has its hands full, obviously, with Justin Herbert, who likes to get the ball out quickly. He's not sacked very often. In fact, the Chargers are the least sacked team in the NFL. But where the 49ers are not healthy is along the defensive line. You know, that's the area where they put in a lot of resources to build their depth at that position. But with Armstead out, Kinlaw out, of course, he's on IR. Something interesting that Kyle Shanahan said this week is that they're not ruling out the possibility that he could play against the Cardinals next Monday night in Mexico City. I think that's a long shot because of all the traveling the team is doing, and they're going to be going up to Colorado Springs to practice and then flying, of course, to Mexico City because the elevation. But so the 49ers defensive line starters will probably be Bosa, Hassan Ridgeway, Kevin Givens, and Charles Aminihu. And then you have, you know, the backups coming in, Drake Jackson, Kerry Hyder Jr., Kamoko Ture, and then they can call up somebody off the practice squad if they choose. And the options there are Hakeem Spence, T.Y. McGill, and Alex Barrett. So I think this is an opportunity for a guy like Drake Jackson to kind of show a little bit more. Not that he didn't have a good first half of his rookie season, but the door is wide open for him to get some more snaps, get a little bit more comfortable, perfect those pass rush moves, and make an impact.
Yeah, both DeMeco Ryans and Kyle Shanahan told us this week that he's doing well, but he's making strides. I think it's all about just being a rookie and entering the NFL. It's, you're a big fish in a small pond going to a much bigger pond. And I think he's made a lot of strides. He's had some impact on games, but I think it's just going to take time and reps for him to, you know, get right into where he's supposed to be without making any mistakes. I mean, every defensive lineman talks about his athleticism, his bend, and you see it when he does a back Randolph handspring exiting the field at SoFi Stadium. He's incredibly athletic. And when you watch the defensive linemen do their individual drills going around things, you see how much Benny does get. I mean, he's able to stay upright while still be at an angle. His feet are way out from underneath the center of gravity and his head is the other way, and he doesn't lose his balance. He doesn't slip. So that athleticism is going to help him get better and be a really good pass rusher in the long run, but I think it's just getting adjusted to the NFL.
Big fish in a little pond. You know what? I know 2 things about goldfish. One is that they don't have a very long memory.
Thank you, Ted Lasso.
Yes. And then the other is the bigger area in which the goldfish has to swim, the bigger the goldfish grows. So if you put a goldfish in a little bowl, it's going to stay little, but if you put it in a pond, it's going to grow. And so maybe now that Drake Jackson will have a little bit more on his plate, a little bit more room to grow, maybe we'll see his game grow along with it.
Yes, I agree.
That's goldfish knowledge 101. Okay, so you know, somebody else who has some knowledge about not goldfish but football, that's Chris Collinsworth, and he's going to join us on this bonus episode of 49ers Talk coming up right after this word from Big O Tires.
Sales. big O sale.
Save $70 to $100 instantly on select tires. Plus, get free basic installation. Plus, zero interest and paid in full within 12 months with the Big O Tires and Service Credit Card. Big O Tires.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. CalHope can help. Access CalHope's free and secure mental health resources. Call 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org.
All right, Chris, another trip to the Bay Area. Second time you've seen the 49ers this season. I would imagine you're expecting a different looking team than the one you saw week three at Denver.
I would think so, yeah. You know, I don't know what it is about San Fran, but it does seem like they're more of a second half of the season and get it going by the time they hit the playoffs. And maybe it's just because they do run the ball so effectively and they're, not a lot of time, I don't think, in the offseason anymore to really work on the run game. Things have changed, you know, we're not quite as physical as we used to be back in my day when they were playing at practice. So, but this team just seems to grind its way, getting better and better. And now you add Christian in the mix and look out.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to ask you about was you come in here and Jason Verrett goes down with another injury. Have you gotten a sense of kind of just, you know, how the team has responded to that or how the feeling inside the building about something just such another horrible turn of luck for a guy who, when he's been on the field, has been a really good player, but he just hasn't been out there very much.
There also comes that moment in time when you look at a teammate and you see that happen and you know what he went through to get there. And I think for Jason, God willing, he'll come back and play more, but to see somebody go through the torture of that year-long rehab and then have that happen, it's really very sad.
Yeah. So you've already had an opportunity to sit down with Coach Shanahan. What is it when you've been around the league a long time, you've seen and talked to almost every coach, probably not Jeff Saturday, the new coach of the Colts.
I've talked to him plenty, yeah.
Okay, but as a production meeting, what distinguishes a talk with Kyle Shanahan to get you prepared for a game than the other coaches that you've talked to?
You know, I can't help myself. I'm not really so interested in the other team as much as I am interested in them and what they do. I think that they orchestrate the running game probably better than anybody in football. I played for his dad. He was my offensive coordinator at the University of Florida when he was 26 years old. And we would go out after the games and they would not card us and they would card him. They would card the coach. But I know the whole evolution of this offense. I knew where it started. And now where I see Kyle taking it to new places, you know, it's just completely different. It's never like a huge leap. It's always like there's this evolution, and I'm trying to keep up with the evolution of where they're taking this thing because it's just so interesting to me.
Okay, so that leads us into where's the next evolution with Christian McCaffrey coming to this team and joining Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and Elijah Mitchell and Kyle Juszczyk, all those guys. Where can they take this offense with McCaffrey after the trade?
I don't think there is a limitation to it. I really don't. Now, you know, the other part of it is you have to remember those three interior guys were sort of new, right? And this running game takes a while to get used to. And then there's play action off of it. But I think McCaffrey just adds a dimension, and we already saw it in the first game. You know, he threw one, caught one, ran one, all that. But it was more than that. To me, he has a little Travis Kelce in him. He understands football. He's been around it his whole life. And he understands sometimes you don't have to outrun somebody, so you don't have to outjuke them. There's a spot right here. Just turn around and throw me the ball, right? And this offense fits perfectly with that intelligence of a player that has grown up around the game and just understands that it's you're a great athlete, you're going to accomplish a lot of great things with just physical skills, but to be champion, that understanding has to go much deeper. And to see what he's done here already, bodes well for the future.
Okay, so Jimmy Garoppolo, nobody thought he'd still be with the 49ers. He came back, didn't go through the offseason program or training camp, and now he is the guy again after Trey Lance's injury. So what do you see from Jimmy? And just, I mean, what are your feelings on just where he fits into, you know, the quarterbacks around the league and how he fits into this team?
I think he fits into this team really well. I always did. You can just put me down. I mean, when people ask me about it in the beginning, I'm like, why would you trade Jimmy Garoppolo this year? I think they're sitting on a heck of a team. And if something happens, which it did to Trey, right, then you're going to need somebody to go to. But his strength fits this team better than probably any other team, because when you go play action passes, which you're going to do because they're going to run it so much, then you're going to have somebody who's going to raise up, see it, and throw it. And Jimmy's release is as fast or faster than anybody in football. He really knows how to work the middle of the field. You look at any of the numbers, you understand that. He has weapons that are run after the catch guys that work the middle of the field great. So his style of play, to me, marries perfectly with what this offense wants to do. Could Jimmy go to any system and be all pro? I don't know, but I know he can take this team anywhere they want to go. Can they win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo? Absolutely they can. Absolutely they can. And so that was kind of the frustrating part for me, was that somehow he was getting the finger pointed at him without really understanding that it's the system that fits him perfectly.
Okay, so Sunday night, Chargers and 49ers, two teams with playoff aspirations. Right now they're both, would be both in. Where are your eyes going to go? What do you kind of see as the defining matchup in this game?
It doesn't take a genius to figure this one out. You know, the Chargers are a team that have given up a lot of yards on the ground. They're going to bend but don't break you. But then you have to do something when you get down to the red zone, and they're pretty good. And you have to do something in short yardage, and they're pretty good in those circumstances. So you're going to think, and against San Francisco, who wants to run it anyway, like, oh boy, this one looks like a tough matchup. But the Chargers are 5-3, and they're 5-3, and their quarterback got hurt badly in week two with a chest injury that he played through, and just now is starting to come out on the other end of that. Now he's beginning to look like himself, and he is one of the best quarterbacks in all the football. So is it, if they're 5-3 now and he survived that 6-week period of time or whatever it was to get to here, and now if he starts running like what he did when we saw him against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, I'm like, the heck is going on out here? You know, this guy looked unbelievable. So I think that the Chargers are on their way up. I don't know what their magic sauce is, but somehow they're in every game till the fourth quarter. And Justin's pretty darn good in the fourth quarter, putting him over the top.
Yeah, that's a pretty good matchup, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, it just really is. I think on the surface, and when I first turned it on, I was thinking, I think the 49ers are going to really blow them out here. Uh-huh. And then you start watching this Chargers team more, and you go, there's more there than meets the statistical eye.
Chris, hey, thanks so much. Your trip here wouldn't be complete without us spending some time together. We really appreciate this.
I'd just turn around and go home if I didn't get to do this. Are you kidding me?
All right, Chris, thank you. All right.
Looking for a bit of adventure this summer? Look no further than a new fuel-efficient Toyota hybrid. As the industry leader, Toyota offers more hybrid models than any other brand, so you can live life to the fullest while getting incredible MPG. Go farther than ever before this season in the most fuel-efficient way possible, and save big at the pump all summer long in a brand new Toyota hybrid. It all starts at Toyota's national sales event. Toyota, let's go places.
Celebrate 9 great years at Graton Resort and Casino. Play to enter Anniversary Clinko Saturdays in November, up to $1 million in prizes. Plus, more ways to win than anywhere else. Tuesdays, turn points into slot play. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, win up to $15,000 in the 9th anniversary slot tournaments. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Whenever you need a recharge from the gym, training, a race, or everyday life, Fit 8 Energy has you covered. Now in four electric flavors. New Fit 8 Energy's 200 milligrams of clean caffeine from green tea helps fight your fitness fatigue and contains our original post-workout recovery blend. Visit fit8energy.com to save up to 30%. In November is Headstrong Month, and this initiative is sponsored by CalHope and NBC Sports Bay Area. The CalHope Together to Wellness website has easy-to-navigate wellness tools, including ones that educate and provide stress management and coping skills. For that information and more, visit calhope.org today. And Jennifer, we have our 49ers Overreactions piece. It runs every Tuesday by Toyota. That's always a lot of fun, and we'll see what kind of reactions we get coming off this 49ers game Sunday night against the Chargers. It's a big one for both teams. Hey, there are a couple things that Chris Collinsworth said. The one, and he talked about when you're coming back from an injury, it affects you in ways that maybe you don't even anticipate, and that's, you know, favoring one side and maybe putting more stress on the other. And I got to tell you, Jennifer, you pointed that out when we were in West Virginia, that it looked like he was landing differently, favoring his, you know, his, you know, trying to take the pressure away from his bad knee, or at least the surgically repaired knee, right, and maybe was putting a little bit more stress on his other side. And that's exactly what happened. He tore his ACL last season and then tears the opposite Achilles just Wednesday in practice.
Yeah. And it's interesting that it's a non-contact injury. So there was just something, I don't know. Yeah. It could have been the extra stress from the extra workload, just carrying, bearing extra weight on that left side. Cause it was the right ACL, left Achilles this time, I believe. And just overwork, I think sometimes can cause that to happen. Just backpedaling, no contact, no funky landing. But sometimes I think you saw it also with Deebo Samuel when he had that fracture in his foot during the off season. He came back and the opposite leg hamstring was what he had issues with and was unable to get on the field. That was Brandon Ayuk's rookie year, which is why he got out on the field so much. That was 2020.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can manifest, injuries manifest themselves in weird ways in athletes just because they have to be so incredibly physically fit and need every bit of their complete physical being to perform at the highest level. Not being able to, or favoring one side, can make a huge difference.
Yeah. No, they're like kind of a race car, right? I mean, it's high speed, high, just everything has to be fine tuned. And
especially as a cornerback.
Yeah. And the horrible thing about Jason Verrett is, you know, he's torn his ACL, he's torn his Achilles, and he's torn his ACL and he's torn his Achilles. He's had the same types of injuries twice in his career. And, you know, it's been such a big deal for Klay Thompson to come back from a torn ACL and a torn Achilles. And, you know, I'm not sure he's all the way back. And to go through that twice is just, it's so devastating for Jason Verrett. And we'll see where this goes. But, you know, the 49ers have signed him in the past to, you know, it's basically four consecutive one-year contracts. And I don't know where this is going. But, it just kind of seems like, you know, there's just so much risk for him to play this sport. And now with another injury, that means, you know, that coming back from that might be more susceptible to injuries in the future. I mean, I kind of scoff at the idea that people are in, you know, certain people are injury prone, but I think for Jason Verrett, it makes sense because of what we're talking about, kind of like almost like one injury leads to another injury just because of your, as Chris Collinsworth said, his gait, and how you train and everything else. It just, it's horrible. So I don't want to get too far ahead of us, but.
Right. So Jason Verrett did have an Instagram message. He said, this life, something be crazy sometimes, especially when it's out of your control. But one thing for sure, those who know me, I'm going to always stand in the paint, face this head first, chin up, chest out always. Some people won't understand your assignment, but at the same time, they weren't given your work. I am who I am. Who I'm not, I'll never be. What's for me won't miss me as long as I'm staying true. Viva forever blessed. So
okay.
That was his Instagram message, which...
I guess it's a positive, uplifting message. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So yeah, Jason Fred out for the season. Again, like I mentioned, he's in his career, he's torn two ACLs and basically missed three seasons off of those two ACLs, and now two torn Achilles, and as you know, basically missed three seasons due to the Achilles, because he didn't come back the year after that first one. So anyway, another thing that Collinsworth said basically he doubled down. He just said the 49ers can win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. He didn't understand why the 49ers had him on the trade block in the first place. I mean, I can tell you that it was because of money. They weren't going to pay him that much money to be a backup. Garoppolo at that point would not have taken a pay cut until they exhausted all options. And as far as the 49ers being able to win a Super Bowl, he didn't win a Super Bowl after the 2019 season, but he proved that he can. I mean, they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, and if the 49ers defense doesn't give up a 3rd and 17, they probably would have won the Super Bowl.
Very, very, very close. So they've got all the pieces. Christian McCaffrey spoke this week and said he's in the huddle and just smiling because of all the skill players that he sees in the huddle with him. I mean, you just look at it's Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey now, Kyle Juszczyk. Even Christian McCaffrey is impressed by the 49ers huddle.
Yes. Yeah, so here's the one thing, though. Is that everybody's talking about how great the offense is and all these playmakers, but they haven't shown it. They got to show something before we start talking about them having this great offense, because they don't have a great offense until they show that they have a great offense. And yes, they played much better the second half against the Rams, but they've also had halves where they played well, and then they didn't do it the next game. So I'm completely pumping the brakes on this 49ers great, potent offense until they freaking show it on the field. So that's my spiel for today, Jennifer.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the roster being incredibly talented, but yes, they have to put a full 60 minutes together. They've had moments and quarters of sparks where they really are humming, but then there are times where, I mean, up until the Rams game, right, their third quarter, they have been outscored completely coming out of the locker room at halftime, after halftime, just kind of sleepy, not entirely awake, but they pulled it together in the second half of the Rams game, but they've got to keep doing that. So consistency, of course, is always key. If they can do that continually for the rest of the season, it'll lead to good things.
Yeah. No more excuses for the 49ers offense. They have to play the second half of the season. They have to play like a top five offense in the league. And that goes for scoring, that goes for yards, that goes for avoiding turnovers, all that stuff. Hey, one part of this game that we haven't talked about is kind of the differing styles. Brandon Staley is the head coach of the Chargers, and he's in his second season, and he is one of these go for it on fourth down at any possible opportunity. Maybe a little bit less this season, but last year they went for it on fourth down 34 times and converted 64.7% of their fourth downs. This year they're 8 for 18, so that percentage has dropped off quite a bit, 20% drop off from last year. Meanwhile, the 49ers last year, they went for it on fourth down about half the number of times the Chargers did, and they were at 50%. This year, they're only 2 for 7, 28%. So that's something that, you know, I'm kind of torn. I love when a coach shows aggressiveness and goes for it, and I like that. But I also think that, what do they call it when you miss on a fourth down opportunity? They call it a turnover on downs. Mm-hmm. And how often do we talk about a game being swayed one way or the other because of turnovers? Well, if you're going for it on fourth down and you fail to convert, isn't that a turnover? So there's part of me that says, oh, I love it. And as a fan watching the game, it makes the game more exciting. But
Absolutely.
I'm not sure it's always the smart move. And I used to follow this, like on Twitter, this robot, what was it called? Like fourth down robot.
Yeah.
Fourth down bot. And I had to stop following it because every time it came up, it would say they should have gone for it. I'm like, come on, you don't go for it in that situation. And so I just got fed up and left them behind.
Yeah, it definitely makes the game more interesting. And I think it's even more challenging for the defense emotionally, mentally, because mm-hmm. you think you're done or they think they're done after a third down and they get a third down stop. But then the offense stays out there.
So, yeah, but I think the other thing is true, too, is that it's a deflating thing for you to not pick up a fourth down. And then also, like a third and two or whatever, a second and two is a lot different than a fourth and two because there's more pressure on the offense, more things at stake if they fail.
Absolutely. Yeah, it definitely makes it more exciting, but it is a bigger swing on the offense, whether they convert or not.
Okay. So we'll see some fourth downs, I think, Sunday night. Hey, it's going to be a full day of football. And for NFC West fans, 49er fans, it starts at 6:30 in the morning out here in the Pacific time zone. Seattle is playing Tampa Bay in Germany. That's a big one. 49ers will wake up and find out if they have a chance to take the lead over the Seattle Seahawks, or at least have the same record. And then they would have the number one spot because of their head-to-head win. And then at 1:25, the Cardinals and the Rams play. I think this is an elimination game. Two playoff teams from a year ago, obviously the Rams won the Super Bowl, but the Cardinals are 3-6. If they lose, stick a fork in them, they're done. The Rams are 3-5. If they lose, there's going to be no repeat of a Super Bowl, and it very well could be with Kyler Murray questionable with a hamstring and Matthew Stafford questionable with a concussion. This could be the Colt McCoy versus John Wolford show. And boy, doesn't that sound exciting?
Absolutely. Let's watch it.
Well, we will, maybe for comedic purposes. No, I got to believe Stafford will play at least in that game, but Murray with a hamstring, we'll see. So anyway, obviously the 49ers and the Chargers, 5:20 PM Sunday night, that's on NBC, but get your day going, at least get your 49ers coverage going at 4 PM 49ers pregame live. On NBC Sports Bay Area, Carlos Ramirez hosts along with Dante Whitner and Rod Brooks. Jennifer, you stop in for a segment, and then I'll be popping over there to the set, and I'll be spending some time with the fellas. So it should be a lot of fun. And then after the game, post-game live, NBC Sports Bay Area, immediately following the game.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.